rookie camp is over, which means we got to talk about how Kenny Pickett did. And what we're learning more and more about him is he's getting his first steps into being a Pittsburgh Steeler. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Joining me today, we Mark Bergen of the Believe in Steelers podcast. It's going to be a fun episode. I want to talk to him about his Mike Tomlin interview. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you a daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find this show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video if you're enjoying it. Hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily updates, our daily episodes, and as well as our breaking news updates and our bonus episodes that come out from time to time. We are welcoming back, Mark, I believe we've had you on before. It's just been a while. But we're welcoming in the host, well, one of the hosts of the Believe in Steelers podcast, Mark Bergen. He's on here. You can always see and hear him with Ike Taylor on the Believe in Steelers podcast. It's an amazing show. I've checked it out. They had a great interview with Mike Tomlin recently. I suggest you go check it out. But Mark, how you doing?
Chris, thank you for having me on. And it's an honor to be on your show, Chris Carter. You actually spell your name properly, unlike one of the Hall of Fame receivers, which, listen, appreciate you having me on and appreciate you spelling your first name properly.
Hey, man, let me tell you, that Chris Carter, he got me in so much trouble when he came at Ben Roethlisberger a few months back during the season. He said something about Ben on ESPN, and I got people tagging me. I got a death threat. I was like, guys, whoa, that's not me. He doesn't even look like me. But I'm like, oh, man, but trust me, I've gotten into a lot of trouble because of that, man.
The real Chris Carter, we're chopping it up this afternoon talking Steelers football. So thank you again for having me on.
Glad to have you. Now let's get right into rookie camp. It's over now. Everyone knows rookie camp isn't something that is going to make or break you. It's just an introductory session. It's just something where the coaches get their hands on you. They get to kind of work with you a little bit, see what you need to be working on going into OTAs. But we did get to hear from Kenny Pickett a little bit. He got to work out with the team. We got some pictures and everything of all that. But, you know, some of the interesting things that were talked about, and this kind of stems from a rumor that was being kicked around last week. Kenny Pickett opened up and he said he's already been spoken with Ben Roethlisberger, and who's offered his assistance and his advice to Kenny Pickett, which, you know, last week I was talking on this very show about the rumor that, some people say Ben might have an axe to grind with the Steelers. But, you know, you're seeing already, not only is Kenny Pickett becoming inundated with the team, he's already working with the guy who's retired and out the door. And if you have an axe to grind, I don't think you do that, Mark.
Yeah, in all honesty, no one expected Pickett to be there at number 20. And then he's waiting in the wings. And especially in this league, we are obsessed with the unknown commodity. Because Remember, Mitch Trubisky several years ago was the number 2 overall pick. So all offseason long, we're going to be talking about who starts, Mitch or Kenny Pickett. And that's going to be the debate that we have between now and really week one of the 2022 season, which starts September 11th. So we have a lot of time to talk about that. Mason Rudolph, it's nice that he's in the room. I'm glad he has starting experience. We know what to expect from Mason Rudolph at this point. He could be a serviceable backup, but the Steelers long-term, he's not going to be your answer. But I'll say this too about Trubisky. He might have some weapons in a young Steelers offense where everyone's 25 and younger, and some weapons that he didn't have at previous stops along the way. He was the backup last year at Buffalo, but then in Chicago as well. So that's going to be really the debate of how long can Trubisky fend off and hold off Pickett. It's a nice problem to have because at least you have, you know, between both Trubisky and Mason Rudolph, two players that have starting experience in this league and how valuable that is to where whenever Pickett is ready, and maybe it's week one, maybe it's later on in the season, but to where there's some healthy competition there to bring out the best in each of the players. So I know everyone wants to see Pickett start week one, but it's because he's the unknown commodity. And just again, remember years ago when Trubisky was the number 2 overall pick in the draft, probably had a lot of the same sentiments about him at the time. But it's because he's the hometown kid. He's the new unknown commodity. It's really start him when he's ready. There's nothing wrong with waiting. Patrick Mahomes waited. Aaron Rodgers waited. Josh Allen I could give you I could give you several other examples. A lot easier said than done. I will say that, particularly on rookie salaries, the way that they're structured now compared to when, say, you know, Sam Bradford played back in the day for the Rams, it's a lot different. But again, like, when he's ready, he'll start, and I'm confident the Steelers will make the right decision. I'm happy that he was still there at number 20, because I look at it from this standpoint, Chris. If you don't draft Kenny Pickett at number 20, what's your plan moving forward to compete with the quarterback talent in the division? Lamar Jackson in a contract season is going to ball. We know what Joe Burrow can do coming off a Super Bowl appearance. And oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson has had some playoff success in his career when he is, in fact, allowed to play again for Cleveland. So you look at the division and you look at the conference as a whole. You need that same talent at the quarterback position if you realistically want to compete for Lombardi trophies. It makes all the sense in the world that you draft Pickett, considering Mike Tomlin's entering year 16, doesn't have a losing season. I know the over-under set at 7.5, but they're not going to be bad enough to draft the Bryce Youngs of the world, the CJ Strouds of the world in the 2023 draft. So then you resort to free agency or trades. We saw what happened this last offseason. Pickett was still there at number 20. Man, I am excited for the Steelers. They get the hometown kid. They'll bring him along when he's ready. He's going to start. And the Steelers have a bright future. Again, considering, I'm going to go back to Deontay Johnson's the elder statesman. He's 25 years old. He's the elder statesman of this offensive group. A lot of talent at the skill position players. The offensive line could do their thing. Keep whoever's behind center upright. Create a push at the line of scrimmage. Easier said than done. But man, I am excited for the first time in a while with the Steelers offense, because they got younger and they got faster. They have some players that are game breakers and they can take it the house, can take it the distance. I've gone long enough, but I'm fired up, Chris.
I was saying you're fired up because you're going in like 20 different directions. And I'm like, hold on, Mark, we got to get back to Pickett. Yeah. Because I feel you on that. And I feel you on we've talked a lot on this show about, you know, there's no need to rush Kenny Pickett. There's no need to rush any quarterback in today's NFL. Mm-hmm. And in most NFL, if you're ready, you're ready. You know, and Mark, you remember Ben Roethlisberger. When he came into the league,
He sat
the first. And the only reason he even got to play was because Connie Maddox got hurt. And then he took over. And then it was an opportunity. It just so happened. But, you know, there's some people out there that are saying, oh, if he doesn't start day one, he was a waste of a draft pick. No, that's not how this thing works at all. Patrick, like you said, Patrick Mahomes, just recently, because you know, we could say Aaron Rodgers, we could say guys from the past, we could go over those guys. I'm talking about right now in today's market of the NFL, that is still something that is done and it is acceptable. And again, you brought in Mitch Trubisky to be that competition. You have Mason Rudolph, who's a guy who knows your offense, and he's at least the bar. It's like, hey, guys, just don't be as bad as this guy. You know, just just get past him. Yeah. And you're going to be fine. But then now you have Mitch Trubisky, who says, hey, I've been a starter in the NFL, and I was a starter on a franchise that was struggling, trying to figure things out, doesn't have as many safeguards in place, and didn't have as many weapons as you alluded to. And now you have Kenny Pickett, who can be either in between those guys, behind those guys, or in front of those guys. And I think that's where it's going to get really interesting. But I want to get to a point that came up on your show when you talked to Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, right on Believe in Steelers. We're going to talk about that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, I got to talk to you guys about BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find out the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, and including this year's NBA playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, and Major League Baseball, all right on BetOnline.net. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Mark Bergen. And Mark, let's get down to your Mike Tomlin interview. I thought there was some really great insight that you guys touched in on, but I thought one of the most glowing things that Mike Tomlin said was about how, like you were saying in the last segment, the Steelers never thought Kenny Pickett would be there at 20. Why do you think, when you talked to Mike Tomlin, who spoke glowingly about how they loved him, as you know, they've seen him from up close because he's been at the Pitts facility, why do you think people kind of fell off with Kenny Pickett and were like, eh, but there was still that factor there that the Steelers were able to say, you know what, we don't care what anybody else says, that is our guy.
When I put my reporter hat on, and that's what I do full time, And I think about the most newsworthy bit of information during our conversation, Mike Tomlin, it came at the very end of the interview when one of the big questions I had going into our conversation was, how close was it between Pickett and any other player that was still on the board? Inevitably, people are going to compare Kenny Pickett to the other quarterbacks in the class. That's done every single year. So it's, you know, Pickett compared to Willis, compared to Desmond Ridder, compared to Matt Corral, compared to Sam Howell, every other quarterback in the class. Remember, Devontae Wyatt, the Georgia defensive lineman, was still on the board as well. Mm-hmm. But then again, I look at the forest between the trees. I look at the big picture. I go back to something I said in our earlier segment of, if they don't draft Pickett there, what's your plan long-term? Because even if Mitch Trubisky balls early on in the season, let's give each other truth serum and talk honesty here. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky is not going to lead you to a Super Bowl title. He could play as well as any quarterback, and he could do really well, utilize his legs, run Matt Canada's offense, distribute the ball to Johnson and Freiermuth and Chase Claypool and get Najee going and do a lot of different things that are interesting with Najee, because you have a quarterback with legs. Mitch Trubisky can run the football. It's a skill set that I don't think was properly utilized in Chicago. But he struggles with his doubt. He struggles with progression, downfield passing. There are limitations with Trubisky's game. So if you, again, if you want to compete in the modern league, and particularly in the AFC, you look at Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, and the three quarterbacks in the division. Like, I look at it from this standpoint, who's going to make the Pro Bowl every year? Because you have six guys who would be guaranteed starters if they were playing in the NFC at a Pro Bowl level. That's how good the competition is. If you don't have a guy that can at least stand pat and play at the same level as those players, you're going to be competing for second place at best every single time. Right. So when Pickett's still there at number 20 and he's been in your backyard for the last 4 or 5 years, there's no wonder that they draft Pickett number with the 20th overall pick. And there's, you know, Mike Tomlin told us they spent 15 seconds on the clock. I'm not going to question that with the level of success that they've had from the Rooney family on down. Kevin Colbert, the outgoing GM, Tomlin, who, look, I know we all want playoff success and they haven't won a playoff game since the 2016 season, but think about how many other franchises would love to be in the Steelers' shoes. To where I go back to something Tomlin said to Chase Young. Can't remember if it was this past season or the season before.
I wish that I could be in a position to draft you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they never are. And the Steelers never are. Because if you wanted them to get a top quarterback in next year's draft because you didn't think that Pickett's the real deal or Willis is the real deal, who slid back to the third round, they're not going to be in that position next season. Like, point blank period, they're not. Whoever the top guy is next year, again, if it's Bryce Young, if it's CJ Stroud, if it's another quarterback, or even via free agency, the premium that this league places on the quarterback position, and they can get Pickett, who's the most NFL ready of any of the rookies in this class. That's pretty much a consensus among anyone who knows anything about the NFL. It was no question. So I look at it from the opportunity that they had at this draft, and they had their pick as well, even at number 20, which was surprising to me because, like, I was going through the draft and, like, Detroit needed a quarterback. Seattle needed a quarterback. I'm sure there are several others. I'd have to pull up the draft order, but there were like three or four teams where I'm like, man, at number 20, the Steelers probably aren't going to have a choice between Pickett or Willis.
I was right with
you. And they had their choice between the two. I'm going to go with the benefit of the doubt that the Steelers know what they're doing. And particularly when he gets Big Ben's blessing this past week too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like he's set up for success. And if the offensive line can keep him upright, and I think about the young talent that they have on the offensive side of the football, it does get me excited because it's something that the Steelers offense hasn't had the past two seasons. So if we're just being real, Chris.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right, because you look at the playmaking and the speed on the field right now. Not just Calvin Austin with 4.32, but Pickens running a sub 4.5 is out there. Johnson isn't fast in a 40-yard dash, but he's got football speed. We've seen him get out on people. Chase Claypool still runs a 4.42. He's still in that conversation. Najee Harris, great athleticism. Pat Freiermuth, great athleticism. Like you were saying, this is a very new, young offense that Kenny Pickett's going to get to work within. It's what Matt Canada is probably going, this is probably going to be his chance to say, all right, y'all thought I was a clown because last year we didn't get to do a whole lot. Now we have the weapons in place. But I do think this is important because, like you said, the Steelers seem adamant about this. And for me, if you're looking at this, and I'm sitting here looking at this objectively, and I'm saying, man, Mike Tomlin, the end of the Colbert era and his legacy, this is how much the organization believed in him, because Mike Tomlin has never had to go and try to get the guy at quarterback. They always had the guy in Ben Roethlisberger. They had to go get the guy at safety. They had to go get the guy at edge rusher and linebacker and all these other positions over the years. But the quarterback has been the one position they've never had to touch. And now this is their first foray in it. And there are some people out there like, there's no way that they'll like strike it rich twice in a row like that with Kenny Pickett. How often does that happen? Not like, you know, the Packers did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and things like that. But I look at Kenny Pickett, and one thing that they talk about is being up so close to Kenny Pickett. They saw the leadership aspect in that. And I liked the things that I started to hear out of rookie camp. I wasn't able to go because, again, I got COVID. I was stuck at home. But I was keeping up with what the guys were saying. And there are good impressions, good feelings from not just the Steelers who are excited about Kenny Pickett joining the team, but also the other rookies that are getting to know Kenny Pickett. And these are the things that you want to see. And I saw as I covered Pitt during his last two seasons, Kenny Pickett is a leader. And I think that might be what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers organization want just as much as a great quarterback on the field.
Let me piggyback off that too, and I'll take it outside the leadership too, because as a rookie, you've got to earn that, and that happens over time. But I look at a college prospect who not only played in the same city, played in the same stadium, mm-hmm. and is accustomed to playing in cold weather games mm-hmm. late in the season, which really matters, particularly at the NFL level when it comes to November, December, and January football. Yep. And I mean, like, I think about, you know, the end zone where when the wind's blowing and like be able to throw the ball in the frigid cold and when the wind's blowing hard and being able to play in those same elements. And he already has several years of experience doing that. As long as he can get up to speed with the speed of the NFL, which is much faster than the college game. Like, it's almost like how the SEC is almost like a AAA to what the NFL level is. It's almost the same thing at the quarterback position because he's played in the same stadium. So it's like, to me,
it's building too.
Yes. Yes. So it's like all of these things, it makes all the sense of the world to when he's ready. I have all the confidence in the world. And like, again, I go back to why would I question the Steelers given their track record of success? Now, again, I know Big Ben's been a luxury the last 18 seasons, almost two decades, where you haven't had to worry about the quarterback position. And that's the reason why he's going to be in Canton here in 5 years. But when you bring in someone like Pickett and you didn't think that he would even be there, I think, like, honestly, people were going to say, well, this isn't a very strong quarterback class. They said the same thing about the 2017 quarterback class when Trubisky got drafted, but it was Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. And I think what's a lot more important is fit in coaching and quarterback development than individual talent, because last year was a more talented quarterback class, right? But the only guy who had success as a rookie was Mac Jones with the Patriots. And that's because he wasn't asked to do a whole lot. You could rely on the running game and a strong defense. What did the other quarterbacks do last year that were rookies? Mm-hmm. Trevor Lawrence now has a new head coach. Trey Lance hardly played. Justin Fields has a new GM and a new head coach. Help me out here. I'm missing
Zach Wilson.
They had several first-round draft picks, and he needs talent around him. So, yeah, last year was the more talented class, but what did you do with said quarterback talent? What did you do to give those guys success, but the coaching that they got better? It's going to be really interesting to see this upcoming season, that rookie class from a year ago is, okay, do they develop at all? Are they as highly touted coming into the league? Or is, yes, this is a quote-unquote weak class, but could they end up having more long-term success? And I'm talking about, you know, Pickett to the Steelers. I'm talking about Desmond Ridder. I'm talking about Matt Corral. I'm talking about Howell. I'm talking about Willis. All of those players, because the fit and the franchise and the coaching, in my opinion, is a lot more important to quarterback development than individual talent coming into the league. That's just my opinion.
No, I agree with that entirely. We're going to keep going about this point because there's something else that Mike Tomlin told you guys in the show that I think kind of circles around why the Steelers saw something that maybe these other teams didn't see in the NFL draft in Kenny Pickett. And it's a little more complex than just, oh, they just were next to him. It's more about the things that they saw when they were next to him. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But first, I got to talk to you guys about our great sponsors at Built Bar. And y'all know they got the Built Puffs, but they now have birthday cake puffs, and they are amazing. Imagine dipping your finger into that plastic tub of birthday cake frosting and then opening your eyes and realizing that you are only consuming 150 calories and getting 16 grams of protein. That's what it's like to eat a birthday cake puff from Built. I just received birthday cake puffs, and I've never had anything like them before. They're easy, they're light, and they taste amazing. They're available right now on Built.com to deliver right to your door. If you haven't tried the puffs, I'll let you know a little secret because that's what our friends do. They're chocolate-covered marshmallow protein bars. And yeah, you heard me, deliciously flavored marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate and somehow only 150 calories. Go check them out, the built.com for the birthday cake puffs. And they are enrobed in 100% white chocolate with sprinkles on top. That's a much better option than a candy bar that can be up to twice as heavy on you with the amount of calories. And again, all Built Puffs and all Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order of Built Bars or Built Puffs when you visit Built.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Mark Bergen from Believe in Steelers. Mark, I want to get to this point that Mike Tomlin brought up when he was talking to you guys. And he talked about how when he was looking at Kenny Pickett, and he talked about his ability to establish relationships, and he thought it was very cool how a couple years ago he said, you know, there was a relationship with the safeties they had, Paris Ford and DeMar Hamlin, two guys that do have NFL experience. Paris Ford trying to work his way back into it, but DeMar Hamlin currently with the Bills. And he said all three of them brought the offense and the defense together, and they would watch the Steelers work. And he saw how that helped Pitt coalesce during those years. And what I think a lot of teams didn't get to see that the Steelers did every day was how Kenny Pickett was such a unifying figure for that Pitt locker room. There's a lot of excitement for Pitt football right now. The ESPN ranked them number 9 in their football power index going into the next college football season. And yes, a lot of that's because they have a great roster, but a lot of it's because that culture has allowed them to keep so many of those players that are sticking around the roster that were being courted by major teams. And I know Jordan Addison's on the way out, but that's another story. Point is, a lot of Pitt's culture comes from the leadership aspects that Kenny Pickett brought to it. And a lot of people look at, if you look at the stats, like, you know, people will point to, well, he only threw 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in back-to-back seasons before that last year. That last year was a fluke, right, Mark? Well, if you look back at those tapes, and as a person who covered Pitt and also as a Pitt alum, I saw these games up close. I looked at it and I'm like, man, look at that drop pass. Look at that drop pass. Look at that drop pass. Pitt had some of the worst drop rates during those years, and it forced Kenny Pickett to not only have to keep making those passes, but then have to do more desperate things to keep Pitt in games. And you finally saw in 2021, a year where they didn't have those drop problems, and he threw the most touchdown passes in the history of the ACC, breaking Deshaun Watson's record. It's those type of things, Mark, that I think Steelers fans should be very excited about. That when you're talking about, you trust what the Steelers organization, Mike Tomlin, Kevin Colbert, and all them seeing, these are the things that the average person probably doesn't know about, but are probably going to factor into how Kenny Pickett takes his first steps as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah, it's listen, this is no news flash. When you mentioned the college stats, there's never, like, it's never an indication of how a player performs at the NFL level. And for me, it's like, what does the tape show you? Because the tape is your resume. Mm-hmm. And like, talk to former players about this. The tape doesn't lie. Like, players know right away whether they're stepping on the field going across a guy or whether it comes out on tape. And like, I liked what I saw from Pickett, particularly this last season, but you like to see the progression at the quarterback position. Now, I'm not trying to throw another quarterback under the bus here when I say this, but I look at Kenny Pickett's tape where year to year to year, he got better and better and better and developed versus Sam Howell's tape at North Carolina when He was surrounded with NFL talent early on in his career. And I'm talking about, you know, the Daz Newsoms of the world, Javonte mm-hmm. Williams, yep. The running back from the Jets. His name slips my mind. Anyways,
same here.
I think it's Michael Carter.
Michael Carter. And then they even had, what was it? Tyson.
Another receiver as well who's in the league. So they had mm-hmm. two receivers in the league, two running backs. And you see he had success early on. But then when he didn't have that same NFL talent at skill positions around him, he wasn't nearly as good as he was when he had those NFL caliber players. Whereas with Pickett, it's just like he got better and better and better regardless of who was around him. Now, that's not to say that like Kenny Pickett's going to be destined for stardom and Sam Howell's not. It's not what I'm saying. But you saw a progression there regardless of who was around him. And that's got to be certainly exciting for the Steelers. And like, I just don't get too hung up over college stats because I've seen guys absolutely tear it up in college and then not do anything in the league and vice versa. So I don't get too hung up on that. And it's just like, what do you have around you? And then what does the tape show you? Actually watch film. And like, it's as simple as this when watching film. You don't need to be a football guru or an X's and O's expert. But does it pop off the screen what you're watching visually? Is there something that you see that is unique and dynamic about a player? Because I think that this is clear with Pickett as well. There's no secret that Willis probably does have higher upside and can make more wild throws and can mm-hmm. do more with his legs. But there's certainly more to the quarterback position than athleticism or raw right. arm talent. I almost liken it to a pitcher in baseball, where if he can throw, say, like 103,
right.
but does he have other pitches? Can he locate? Can he develop? You know, mm-hmm. can he change speeds? Can he do different things? You mentioned the leadership component of as well. There's a heck of a lot more to playing the quarterback position than just the physical attributes as well. And that's kind of what makes it different than some of the other positions in this league as well.
No, I agree with that sentiment entirely. And when you're talking about, you know, what Kenny Pickett has been able to show, you know, the ability to process the field, like you said. I mean, for a perfect example, when Pitt played North Carolina this year, and it was Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett, big ACC game. Whoever lost that game was probably out of the ACC Coastal Divisional race. And it was a night game. ESPN was there. And listen, as a person who covered Pitt football, we got like okay meals when people are out. When the Steelers said, we want to come make sure we're at this game, they get the good meals. So when they bust real well out the roast, I was like, oh my goodness, that means Kevin Colbert. I was like, oh, there's Kevin Colbert. And I said, here you are. And it was funny. Some people were saying, oh, they're here to look at Sam Howell. They don't care about Kenny Pickett. I was like, I don't know, man. Kenny's having a heck of a year. And in a game that had pouring down rain, cold weather, it was chilly. You saw Kenny Pickett just heaving the ball, getting it out there, even though a game-winning touchdown in overtime in between coverage. And so many times, and I bring this up a lot, when I process what he was able to do at Pitt, defenses would show him different looks, fake things out, and he would sit there and not be baffled by it, be able to go through his progressions and say, okay, they're trying to show me this, but I know they're going to that because I studied them on tape and I'm able to take that study and apply it to the field. Those are very real things that I think will get applied very quickly with his time as a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I'm also very interested, Mark, when you have a guy that does something like that, and Ben did that more towards the end of his career, but in the early parts of his career, he was very sandbox dependent. Like he was, I'm going to make the plays with my eyes. If you blitz me, I'm going to break you off and throw an amazing touchdown pass. But if Kenny Pickett can encapsulate that into his early part of his career, what does that say about the ceiling there? Because a lot of people say, oh, he doesn't have that high of a ceiling because he doesn't have a cannon arm or he doesn't have the speed that you talk about. We were talking about with Malik Willis. But if he's able to get a good floor to work with mentally as a quarterback and what he can do, what does that say for the future and about with him, not just as a quarterback, but with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a franchise?
Well, the quarterback position, it's like a chess match, right? Like it's mm-hmm. just like, it's just as much mental between the ears as it is physical. So that's kind of what I liken that to, in the sense that like, again, like there's so much more to the quarterback position than just, okay, can he throw sideline to, can he throw opposite hash to opposite hash? Can you do that in not in ideal conditions? There's more to it than just, you know, again, like cannon arm, has great legs, and like, it, okay, And especially at the college level too, and you know this, Chris, covering college athletics, a lot of times offensive coordinators at the college levels, you make one read, two read, you throw the ball the way you tuck it and run. In the NFL, you might have to go through three or four different progressions before you even consider running the football. So the fact that he's demonstrated the capability of doing that, like, you can't help but be excited about that. So we'll see. Like, I want to see how he goes against NFL defenses. We're probably going to make way more. We're probably going to overanalyze, you know, what he demonstrates in the preseason when he goes up against NFL defenses, even though we all know that the preseason defenses are super vanilla.
Exactly.
But it's like, I'm excited to see that and to see how he progresses. And if it's even close between both Pickett and Mitch Trubisky, I think that they will go with Pickett to start in week one. But at the same, like, right now, if you were to ask me, Mark, who do you think starts? I do think it'll be Trubisky, but he's going to give it every opportunity to start and make this a competition. And again, I think that'll bring the best out in the quarterbacks on the Steelers roster. Again, like, I don't mention Rudolph in that conversation. This is not a knock on Mason Rudolph. I think he can be a fine backup for several years to come, and he can manage a game or two if you need him to fill in the middle of the season to be a stopgap. But the reason why the Steelers said, hey, you know, he can't be our starter long term is not just the quarterback talent across the division, which is one factor, but you look at the 2021 season when he's filling in on a day's notice for Ben Roethlisberger when Big Ben had COVID against the Detroit Lions and they tied the Detroit Lions. Steelers fans were not going to have that because they will always remember that about him. Sometimes perception is reality. Again, I know he had like one day to prepare. I also don't know why the Steelers had him throw the ball 50 times in the game against Detroit.
It was a wild
one. But they're going to remember him as the quarterback of a winless Lions team. The team had the second overall pick, and this guy only tied them. There's a reason why he wasn't going to be your starter long term. Again, that's not to say that he can't be a fine backup. I'm not trying to throw him under the bus at all. That's just the reality of the situation, Chris.
Quick thought here before we go, Mark. Does Mason Rudolph make the whole season on the roster?
I think so, and here's why. I think it's this simple. Let's get through OTAs, training camp, preseason with all three starters healthy. I know everyone says, oh, let's see what's out there. Let's trade Mason. What are you going to get back for him? A sixth-round pick, a seventh-round pick? At least you have a quarterback who has starting experience. And if you need him to fill in for a game or two, he's demonstrated he can do that. Can he be the answer long term? No. But let's get through all of preseason, all the games up until the trade deadline healthy at the quarterback position, whether it's Trubisky or whether it's Pickett. But I don't have any problem with having a player on the roster who has starting experience. I say he stays.
We're on the same page here. And it seems like people seem to forget that just 3 years ago, the Steelers had this situation where they lost one quarterback, another quarterback, and they traded away Josh Dobbs, and they needed a Devlin Hodges in that situation. They don't want to get caught like that again. I don't think Mason's going anywhere, even if he's the third string guy, which I predict him to be. But I was like, well, he wouldn't take that. I'm like, what's he going to take? Does he think that he's going to go somewhere and start for the Carolina Panthers?
Slow money is better than no money, Chris.
Exactly. And if you can, there's plenty of guys who have made a lot of money being just NFL backup quarterbacks and working their way around the league.
There's nothing wrong with that either. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that either.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you so much for your time here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. You've been a lot of fun to talk with about here. And you guys should all check out his show. But Mark, let people know where they can find you. Check out more of your work and your show, Believe in Steelers.
Yeah, I'm on social media, MD Bergen, MDBERGIN, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can check out the Believe in Steelers show, YouTube, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Believe in Steelers, BLEAV, Believe in Steelers. Check us out there. And we're into the offseason now, but like, you know this too, Chris, the NFL never sleeps. So the next big storyline coming down the pipeline, who the GM's going to be, I think they go in-house. Omar Khan, Brandon Hunt. We'll see, though. That could happen in the coming days, in the coming weeks. We're kind of on standby, but especially with the draft pick of Pickett, and I'll leave you with this. Whoever the next guy is to take over the Steelers as GM, you don't want to bring in an outsider to say, Kenny Pickett wasn't my selection, which is why I think it's either going to be Omar Khan or Brandon Hunt, because they were inside the organization when the Steelers made that selection for who the quarterback of the future is going to be. Omar Khan, Brandon Hunt, I think it'll be one of the two. we'll see here in the coming days and in the coming weeks.
We certainly will, Mark. I've been, man, great minds think alike. We said the same thing about Mitch Trubisky. We say the same thing about the hire. I think it could be both of them just getting promoted because, hey, here's my Omar Khan, great with the numbers, but Brandon Hunt, the guy who learned under Bill Nunn himself, the legend that built the 70 Steelers, and the guy who learned next to Kevin Colbert, it just seems like a home run decision, but we will see. We still have plenty of time to decide that. Thanks again to Mark for joining the show. You can find me, Chris Carter, on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. You can find this show, Locked On Steelers, just like you find Mark Bergen's show, Believe in Steelers, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, YouTube. Like this video if you saw it on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily episodes and our bonus episodes and breaking news updates. We'll be back tomorrow with more on your Pittsburgh Steelers right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.